Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
The precedent here is very simple. You have a federal law enforcement official engaging in federal law enforcement action. That's a federal issue. That guy is protected by absolute immunity.
As nationwide protests over the fatal ICE shooting of Renee Good continue, Vice President J.D. Vance claims the agent who shot her has absolute immunity. We'll go to Minneapolis to speak with the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of Minnesota, Attorney General Keith Ellison. He oversaw the investigation and prosecution of former police officer Derek Chauvin and three others involved in the murder of George Floyd. Then the Oscars shortlist features five films on Israel and Palestine. We'll look at two of them. The Voice of Hind Rajab, about a six-year-old Palestinian girl killed by Israeli forces in Gaza, is up for the Best International Feature Film.
I'm scared. They're shooting. Come get me, please.
What's your name?
Hind Rajab Hamada. Please don't leave me. I'm all alone.
Mehdi, I need an ambulance. We need to guarantee them a safe route. She doesn't have time.
The tanks are here. They're shooting at me.
We'll speak with the director, Kauthar Ben-Hania. And we look at the film shortlisted for Best Documentary Feature, Holding Liat, about the former Israeli hostage Liat Hatzili.
Huda and I deal with problems differently.
The struggle for peace and reconciliation is the best way to respect Liat and Aviv and provide the human side to the story.
I'm not going to thank them for abducting my parents and murdering my acquaintances.
The former Israeli hostage, Liat Hatzili, will join us in studio. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Protests broke out in Portland, Oregon, Thursday after Border Patrol agents shot and wounded a married couple during a vehicle stop in a hospital parking lot. The incident came a day after an ICE agent fatally shot a mother of three in Minneapolis, Renee Good, sparking nationwide protests. In Portland, local police said the man and woman survived the shooting, then drove 2 miles before calling 911 for medical help. Their identities and current condition have not been released. After the shooting, Portland Mayor Keith Wilson called for a halt to ICE operations in the city.
We know what the federal government says happened here. There was a time when we could take them at their word. That time is long past.
That's right.
That is why we are calling on ICE to halt all operations in Portland until a full and independent investigation can take place. Our community deserves answers. Our community deserves accountability. And most of all, our community deserves peace.
This comes as protests continue across the United States over the killing of Renee Good, the mother of three, shot by an ICE agent in Minneapolis Wednesday. Good was shot inside her car after she dropped her six-year-old son off at school. Video of the shooting shows masked ICE agents approaching her vehicle, screaming for her to get out of the effing car, using the profanity, and attempting to force open her driver's side door. As Good attempted to drive past the officers, a masked agent pulled his gun out and fired 3 rounds at Good. On Thursday, Vice President J.D. Vance claimed Good had aimed her car at the officer, but the New York Times published a slow motion analysis showing how her vehicle was turning away from the officer when he opened fire and shot her in the face. Vance also claimed the ICE officer, who's been identified as Jonathan Ross, is, quote, protected by absolute immunity, unquote. Local officials in Minnesota have denounced the FBI for preventing state authorities from being part of the investigation into Renee Good's death. On Thursday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz said the FBI had blocked the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the BCA, from accessing case materials, scene evidence, or investigative interviews. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey wrote online, quote, "Let's call a spade a spade. Kristi Noem watched the videos and doesn't want an impartial investigation because she knows her narrative about domestic terrorism is bulk," unquote. In related news, Illinois Democratic Congresswoman Robin Kelly's announced she's introducing articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Kelly said, quote, "She wreaked havoc in the Chicagoland area and has brought her reign of terror to Minneapolis. One of her rogue ICE agents shot and killed an innocent woman today. It must come to an end," she wrote. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and other officials are also calling on immigration agents to stay away from schools in Minneapolis after armed mass Border Patrol officers came onto the property of Roosevelt High School during dismissal on Wednesday. Agents deployed chemical weapons, tackled people, handcuffed two staff members. U.S. Border Patrol Commander Gregory Bovino was at the school during the operation, which took place just after the killing of Renee Good. Minneapolis schools are closed again today for in-person classes. On Capitol Hill, the Senate advanced a bipartisan measure intended to block the Trump administration from conducting further military action in Venezuela following Saturday's U.S. attack and abduction of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife. Five Republican senators backed the measure, joining Democrats. They were Rand Paul, Josh Hawley, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, and Todd Young. Democratic Senator Tim Kaine sponsored the measure.
Here is something I can guarantee you. No one has ever regretted. No one has ever regretted a vote that just says, "Mr. President, before you send our sons and daughters to war, come to Congress." That is a vote that no one has ever regretted and no one will ever regret.
In a social media post this morning, President Trump said he canceled a second wave of attacks on Venezuela after Venezuela's interim government agreed to cooperate with U.S. on a number of issues. On Thursday, a number of prisoners were released, including Enrique Marquez, a prominent opposition figure. President Trump scheduled to meet with top oil executives from Chevron, ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, and other oil firms at the White House today to discuss the future of Venezuela. Trump has repeatedly said the U.S. plans to take control of Venezuela's vast oil reserves. Trump's claim big oil firms plan to invest $100 billion in Venezuela. Trump's also expected to meet next week with Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado, who won this year's Nobel Peace Prize. On Saturday, Trump dismissed the idea of installing Machado as Venezuela's leader. The Washington Post reports Trump's refusal to support her stemmed from her decision to accept the Nobel Peace Prize, which Trump had wanted. One source told the Washington Post, quote, "If she had turned it down and said, 'I can't accept it because it's Donald Trump's,' she'd be president of Venezuela today," unquote. After the Washington Post article ran, Machado announced she wanted to share her Nobel Prize with Trump. On Thursday, Trump appeared on Fox News and was asked about this by Sean Hannity.
"Do you have any plans to meet with her? And would you accept the Nobel Prize she wants to hand to you?"
"Well, I understand she's coming in next week sometime. And I look forward to saying hello to her. And I've heard that she wants to do that. That would be a great honor."
U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has announced plans to meet next week with Danish officials to discuss the future of Greenland as the Trump administration explores ways to seize the Danish territory. Reuters reports the Trump administration is considering sending lump sum payments of up to $100,000 to each resident of Greenland to convince them to secede from Denmark. The U.S. has also not ruled out using military force to take over Greenland. Earlier this week, Trump told reporters at the New York Times he wants to take ownership of Greenland. In the same interview, Trump dismissed the importance of international law.
Is there anything that could stop you if you wanted to?
Yeah, there's one thing. My own morality, my own mind, it's the only thing that can stop.
And, not international
and that's
law.
Very good. I don't need international law. I'm not looking to hurt people.
Do you feel your administration needs to abide by international law on the global stage?
Yeah, I do. I do. But it depends what your definition of international law is.
President Trump was speaking to the New York Times in a wide-ranging two-hour interview. This comes as the German president, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, has sharply criticized Trump's foreign policy. He warned the world's turning into a, quote, den of robbers, where the most unscrupulous take whatever they want, unquote. Anti-government protests continue in a number of Iranian cities despite a new nationwide internet blackout there. International calls are also being blocked. The Norway-based NGO Iran Human Rights estimates 45 people have been killed since the protests began December 28th over Iran's economic crisis, which has been worsened in part by U.S. sanctions. Earlier today, Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said protesters are, quote, ruining their own streets to please U.S. President Donald Trump. On Thursday, Trump renewed his threat to attack Iran if security forces violently crush the protests. Trump said, quote, if they do it, we're going to hit them very hard, unquote. In news from Gaza, Israeli forces have killed at least 14 Palestinians over the past day in attacks targeting areas across the Gaza Strip, including homes in the Barej refugee camp.
Since they destroyed the house, I have nothing left. I sat like this, leaning on the floor. I'm 63 years old. For 63 years, when I built this house, I put a shekel on top of a shekel to build it. And it was gone, gone in seconds. They say there's peace and a truce, but there's neither peace nor truce.
Israeli forces have killed at least 425 Palestinians since the so-called U.S.-brokered ceasefire with Hamas came into effect in October. Russia launched a massive overnight drone and missile attack on Ukraine. For just the second time, Russia fired a new hypersonic nuclear-capable ballistic missile that flies at roughly 10 times the speed of sound. Ukraine reported four people were killed in Kyiv, including an emergency medical aid worker. At least 20 buildings were struck in Kyiv, including the embassy of Qatar. Recent Russian strikes have also cut off power and water to more than a million people in southeastern Ukraine. On Capitol Hill, the House has passed a bill to restore subsidies for the Affordable Care Act for 3 years. 17 Republicans joined with Democrats to pass the measure. But it's unclear if the bill will pass in the Senate. Health insurance premiums soared this month for millions after the subsidies expired. Meanwhile, Republican Congressman Thomas Massie and Democrat Ro Khanna are urging a federal judge to appoint a special master to oversee the process of releasing files under the Epstein Files Transparency Act. Massie and Khanna said, quote, put simply, the DOJ cannot be trusted with making mandatory disclosures under the act, unquote. And New York Governor Kathy Hochul and New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani have announced plans to launch a new program to provide free childcare for two-year-olds in New York City and expanding pre-K programs statewide. The announcement comes a week after Mamdani was sworn into office and as he ran a campaign vowing to deliver universal childcare to every New Yorker.
To those who doubt the power of the people to make their own destiny,
To the cynics who insist that politics is too broken to deliver meaningful change. To those who think that the promises of a campaign cannot survive once confronted with the realities of government. Today is your answer.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. More details are emerging about Renee Good, the mother of three, the award-winning poet who was shot and killed in her car by a federal immigration agent Wednesday during a surge of immigration enforcement in Minneapolis, prompting peaceful vigils and protests for the past 2 days in Minneapolis and around the country. Good's family and neighbors say she'd persevered after the death of her second husband, who was a military veteran who suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, and found a new home and community in Minneapolis. Meanwhile, Vice President J.D. Vance addressed the killing of Good during a White House press conference Thursday.
I can believe that her death is a tragedy while also recognizing that it's a tragedy of her own making and a tragedy of the far left who has marshaled an entire movement, a lunatic fringe, against our law enforcement officers.
Vice President Vance claimed Renee Good had aimed her car at the ICE agent. But the New York Times published a slow-motion analysis showing how her vehicle was turning away from the officer when he opened fire, shooting her in the face. Vance also claimed the ICE agent who shot and killed Renee Good is protected by absolute immunity.
The precedent here is very simple. You have a federal law enforcement official engaging in federal law enforcement action. That's a federal issue. That guy is protected by absolute immunity. He was doing his job. The idea that Tim Walz and a bunch of radicals in Minneapolis are going to go after and make this guy's life miserable because he was doing the job that he was asked to do is preposterous.
The ICE agent, who's seen on video shooting Good, was wearing a mask but has now been identified as Jonathan Ross. Court records show that during a traffic stop last year, he was pulled about 100 yards while firing a stun gun at the driver's head. This comes as Minnesota state investigators say the FBI is blocking them from accessing, quote, case material, scene evidence, or investigative interviews necessary to complete a thorough and independent investigation, unquote, into the ICE shooting of Renee Good. On Thursday, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the BCA, does not have the jurisdiction to investigate the shooting. That unit was set up after the police murder of George Floyd in 2020. The move prompted outrage among Minnesota state officials, including Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who posted this video Thursday night on social media.
Just in Minnesota yesterday, a tragedy, the death of Renee Good on the streets at the hands of a federal agent. You also witnessed last night a beautiful vigil, a peaceful vigil, people expressing their constitutional and First Amendment rights in a peaceful manner. And for that, I say thank you. I've been very clear. We need a couple things here. We need Minnesota to carry out this investigation, to make sure that the professionals at the BCA and the local law enforcement who's in charge of law enforcement make sure we do the investigation, and then to pull back this unnecessary surge. And so with that, I would ask for all of us to continue to do this peacefully, continue to raise our voices, but do so in a manner that brings about that sense of community. In Minnesota, I'm declaring tomorrow at 10 a.m. on January 9th, I'd ask everyone to pause for a moment of silence, to remember Renee Good, also to remember all that's good and right about this nation.
Meanwhile, on Thursday in Portland, Oregon, ICE agents reportedly shot and injured two people. This prompted the Oregon Attorney General to announce his own investigation focused on, quote, whether any federal officer acted outside the scope of their lawful authority, unquote. Elsewhere in Philadelphia, District Attorney Larry Krasner had this warning for ICE agents.
If any law enforcement agent, any ICE agent, is going to come to Philly to commit crimes, then you can get the F out of here. Because if you do that here, I will charge you.
For more, we're joined in Minneapolis by the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of Minnesota, Attorney General Keith Ellison. He oversaw the investigation and prosecution of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin and three other police officers involved in the murder of George Floyd. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, Attorney General Keith Ellison. If you can start off by explaining what has taken place, first responding to the killing of Renee Good, and then while at first the FBI was cooperating with the state and investigating her death, now they have pulled out?
Yes. At this point, there is no joint investigation as that we started out. And that was happening. We've been notified that at this point, federal authorities have claimed exclusive authority over the evidence. That is certainly a problem for a multitude of reasons. One is that this case must be independently investigated. There must be a fair, transparent investigation of all of the facts. Homicides, and this clearly is a homicide. And I'll just note for your readers, homicide and murder are not exactly the same thing. Murder is a legal conclusion. Homicide, it really just says death by the hands of another. This is clearly a homicide. And because of that, the states traditionally, historically, have had priority in jurisdiction over these kind of matters. It's certainly the right thing for local authorities, state authorities, to be intimately involved in conducting this investigation. So the fact that the federal authorities have said, this is our case, not yours. And when you add on that the president, vice president, and the Secretary of Homeland Security have already exonerated Jonathan Ross, in this case, the ICE agent, that's deeply disturbing. And my thought is, what are you hiding? I mean, if you feel that the ICE agent operated within the law, then let there be an investigation so that that can be revealed. But if you just exclude state authorities, stop, frustrate, undermine a fair, transparent investigation, then any result you come up with will look simply like a whitewash covering up, what could well be nefarious bad activity. I just want to say to your listeners, too, of course I have my own eyes that have seen the tape. But I, because of the role I play in our state, have to maintain a position that the case needs to be investigated before I jump to and declare an outcome. I'm trying to not do what I believe is irresponsible rhetoric by the president, vice president, and secretary by simply stating a conclusion before we've been able to do an investigation. I got common sense and I got good vision. This is an outrage, but I think those of us who are responsible for delivering meaningful justice, as we did in the Floyd case, it's our job to not prejudge the facts, but to gather them, examine them, and then determine charging decisions. That's not what the federal authorities are doing, and I'm calling on them to reconsider their very poor policy decision and to stop their rhetoric that prejudges the facts. And please stop smearing the name of Renee Good. This woman lost her life trying to look out for the most vulnerable of her neighbors. That is how she died, as a legal observer, trying to make sure the most vulnerable of her neighbors were safe and secure in their lives. She was a good person. She was a mother of three. A mother of a six-year-old who, according to reports, she had just dropped off from school. And I urged these leaders in our federal government to knock off the smear tactics on this woman's life.
And how do you respond to Vice President Vance saying that the ICE agent who killed Renee Good has immunity?
That is a misstatement of the law. It simply is untrue. It is wrong. And I don't know what law school he went to, but he sure wasn't paying attention if he was there. Clearly, state authorities can, in the right circumstances, subject to the requirements of something called the Supremacy Clause, state authorities can charge and investigate criminal acts by federal authorities. There's a lot of precedent in it. There's plenty of case law on it. There's no question that it is absolutely something the state has the authority to do. Now, again, there is an immunity, but it's not absolute. And essentially, if the state can meet the burden of the Supremacy Clause, which are a two-pronged test, legal test, those prosecutions can certainly go forward. It's possible that you may end up trying the case in federal court, certainly possible. I'm not saying that that is what will happen. I'm not prejudging the facts or the circumstances of the case. I'm simply saying that Mr. Vice President Vance is wrong on the law, or he's deliberately misrepresenting it to the American people.
And the Hennepin County District Attorney also said that he could be arrested and charged. If you could explain, how do you conduct an investigation if the FBI is withholding what they have accumulated so far? And do they have hold of the bullets? Do they have the casings, the car? Who's got control of all of this?
It's in the Fed's possession, and they're saying they're not going to include the state authorities or local authorities, and that it's only up to them to conduct the investigation. And so how do you do it? Well, it's very hard, isn't it? You know, I can assure the people of the state of Minnesota and the United States that we are leaving no stone unturned, either from an investigative or from a legal standpoint. We are working around the clock to make sure justice is served. And justice is not an outcome. It is a process. So I just want to be, you know, as the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, you know, of course, I'm an individual person, can have my individual points of view. Again, as I said, my eyesight is good. I saw the same video as all of you are watching, but I'm not going to declare what happened in this. But I can tell you this. Clearly, the federal authorities have made the investigative process infinitely more difficult by the action that they've taken. I'm urging them publicly now to reverse this incorrect and improper decision. Let me just say, theoretically, possibly, let's just say that there's some evidence out there that would somehow exonerate this Mr. Jonathan Ross. If you don't have a independent investigation, then no one will ever believe that there was evidence that would exonerate. And I'm not saying he should be exonerated. I'm not saying he shouldn't be. I'm simply saying having a closed-off, exclusive investigation when top authorities in the federal government have said the state is excluded from the investigation is a recipe for no confidence in whatever outcome they have. They need to reverse this very bad decision, let justice, the process of justice unfold, including the state of Minnesota, fully as a partner in this investigation, and then just let accountability go where it goes. You know, the fact is that that this is essential for public confidence, for and public confidence is essential to public safety and trust. So this is an urgent and worrisome matter that the federal government has taken this position. And so I just say to your question, good question, the federal government is taking the wrong tact here, and they need to reverse their decision.
The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension was set up after George Floyd's murder. The BCA is now, FBI is refusing to cooperate with them. You know well how to take over an investigation. In fact, as Attorney General, when Hennepin County wasn't going to charge the police officers in George Floyd's death, you took that over. So what lessons have you learned for how you're going to deal with this today when they've got the evidence, but you've got to conduct an independent investigation?
Well, Amy, I wish I could tell you and your audience every single thing that I'm working on right now. Unfortunately, I can't do that. But I want to just tell you and your listening audience that I'm doing every single thing I can to make sure that there is a full, fair, and independent investigation. And if charges are warranted, they will be filed. I just want to let you know that But in terms of the inner workings of our investigative process, I will just ask you and the public for a little bit of deference for us to do the work that we do. But please know, no one on this planet needs to push me to seek justice. As you just pointed out, you know, we went after justice in the issue of the murder of George Floyd. We prevailed. We were able to achieve convictions in those cases. And we will do the same whenever we're called upon to play a role in the process of justice. So people can rest.